When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'll be your host today, Zach Clinton. And during today's conversation, we're going to be hearing a powerful testimony, one of grace, forgiveness, and freedom. Joining us today is Nick Stumbo. Nick is the executive director of Pure Desire Ministries, an organization dedicated to providing hope and recovery from sexual brokenness. A third-generation pastor, he began his ministry at East Hills Alliance Church in Kelso, Washington, serving as lead pastor for over a decade. During this time, he confronted his own addiction to pornography. And through Pure Desire's counseling and group ministries, he and his wife Michelle found healing. This personal transformation led him to establish Pure Desire groups within his church, fostering a culture of grace and recovery. Nick is an author, having written Setting Us Free and Safe, Creating a Culture of Grace in a Climate of Shame. He and Michelle reside in Oregon with their four children. Nick, thank you so much for joining us again today, my friend.
Yes, great to be back.
Nick, first and foremost, thank you so much just for your vulnerability and sharing your story. It is so impactful to see the way that God is now using what was once really a lot of pain in your life and now using it truly for His greatest purpose in and throughout your life. And with humility, by taking responsibility and with great courage, bringing these things to the pulpit and sharing them with vulnerability. I mean, it's been a rough summer. We know that. Things at Oak Fellowship, things at Gateway, right? That's a lot of different things that have happened. But what was it about you, Nick, that really you felt pressing from the Lord to say, I need to share this with the people that I have been shepherding throughout this journey?
Well, if I'm honest, Zach, I don't know if it was a lot about me, because as I shared, I was very resistant. I thought, hey, I've kind of got this managed. I was so stuck in my way of seeing the world that I didn't realize how much help I needed. But God had done two things. One, he'd given me a wife who has continued to stay faithful and said, I want to see change. You know, she was able to say, I love you, and this can't keep happening. But God had also put us in a church community where there had been a level of grace that had already been extended to me. I'd been the associate pastor there at the age of 22, and in that season had opened up about my struggles with pornography and had found an elder board that was forgiving, that wanted to stand with me, but also really didn't know a pathway to freedom. And so when it came to this healing journey, I at least had an inkling that I might get support rather than be rejected and fired. And I think that's such a crucial element because honestly, most pastors are not given permission to be human beings. We have an expectation that if you've been trained in Bible and theology and preaching and exhortation, like you're good to go, and everything else is probably matured along with it. But we don't really ask the right questions to determine what's the level of growth and maturity in your personal life, and particularly in your sexuality. So then we get these titles like pastor or reverend or leader. And what happens is we push down all that secret stuff that could disqualify us. We feel like it's not safe to bring up here, and yet it's not going to go away when we do that. In fact, it usually gets worse. And so then what we see happening in all these stories is it's the outcome. It's the fruit of unaddressed secrecy and patterns of behavior and then shame coming out. And so I look at my story and just, I'm so grateful that God put me in a place where there was an opportunity to say, first and foremost, I am a man who's in need of help, and put us in the right place to get that help at the right time, because I easily could have become another one of those stories to just think, I'll keep it under control, it won't go too far, and then to get caught up in something that would have derailed a career and a marriage and a ministry. And I think that's a message that I'm trying to say to churches and organizations and denominations, to ask the question, why do we keep waiting for the next story to hit the headlines? Why don't we come alongside all of our leaders and pastors, particularly when they're young or starting out, to just say, hey, we know you got a great education. We love your MDiv. We think the school you went to is probably awesome. But we also know you're a human being that God made in his image as a sexual being. And we're guessing probably nobody helped you in this area. And we're going to create a pathway for you to become a mature man of God, a mature woman of God in your sexuality, so that you're prepared and equipped to do ministry for a lifetime. And what I have found, Zach, quite frankly, is that nobody is doing that. No seminary is doing that. Denominations aren't doing that. And it's not for a lack of heart or compassion. We just haven't prioritized this to that point of saying, we want you to be healthy in this area more than we want you to be some successful, famous pastor or minister. And so I think the reality is we're going to keep seeing these results. We're going to keep seeing leaders that go sideways after decades of effective ministry. Why? Because it's been under the surface the whole time. It just hasn't erupted in a way that leads to the disqualification until really it's too late. And so I look at my story and say, man, what if we had environments where Christian leaders, pastors, missionaries, full-time ministers knew my organization is not just making it optional, like they're requiring me to lean into my healing in my sexuality because they care and because this is a safe place to be real. And until we do that, we're going to keep getting the results that we've got. And so I hope this is something about the way that we qualify our leaders, that we have to be willing to go deeper and let them be real and then provide a pathway for their healing.
Come on, Nick. I appreciate just what you said so much, because I think it's imperative, like you said, that there are ministries like Pure Desire and what you guys are doing and walking alongside of leaders and Christian leaders, especially, and pastors in their private lives, not just helping them in a sense enhance their public personas. You guys are creating these safe environments and atmospheres where grace and forgiveness and mercy and accountability and acceptance and all of these things are offered. And I think it is so important and so necessary, again, for such a time as this. To our audience, you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Zach Clinton. And again, joining us today is the Executive Director of Pure Desire Ministries, Nick Stumbo. Nick, as we keep on just progressing in this conversation, I think one thing that Satan uses, especially in this battle with sexual sin or sexual addiction or pornography, to really just silence us, to keep us stigmatized, to keep us stuck in life, is he uses shame, right? That little whisper that says, if you only knew me, Nick, right? If you only knew what I did behind closed doors, you wouldn't love me, you wouldn't accept me, you wouldn't interact with me, I wouldn't have the opportunity of speaking or of sharing, all of these different things. Shame is ultimately, though, a liar. And shame makes us believe It's not only the guilt that we have a problem, it makes us believe that we are the problem. Nick, speak to this cycle of shame that is often attached to not just sexual addiction, but to addiction in general, even to mental health challenges in general at large, and speak to how difficult of a process it is to journey out of, but maybe how some steps you took to get there.
For sure. Shame is a uniquely challenging problem. And let's make sure we're clear on what we mean when we say shame, because many people use guilt and shame kind of synonymously. And you hit on this, that shame is a deeper level of understanding that says not that I did something wrong. Shame says there's something wrong with me. At a fundamental level, there is something about me that is shameful, that is wrong, that is unworthy. And I think so many Christians sit in churches every Sunday and hear how Christ forgives their sin, which is about behavior, but they leave wondering, but how does he feel about me? Because who I am, there's something wrong there. And we really need to help address people's shame, because shame is a unique double-edged sword when it comes to addictive behaviors. Shame is often the thing that leads us into the behavior. So we feel like there's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. Do I have what it takes? Well, in an artificial way, pornography answers that question and says, no, you're good enough, you're wanted, you're desirable. And so the pain we're feeling because of shame gets answered in an artificial way through pornography. But then after we viewed it, the shame message at the other side of the sword happens, where it's like, why would I do that? How come I like that? What's wrong with me? And it reinforces the shame message. And so we get stuck in this shame cycle that traps us in feeling bad about ourselves. And then the behavior reinforces why we should feel bad about ourselves. And that's why isolation and secrecy cannot coexist with recovery and health. Because when we're trying to recover alone, no matter how much good work we're doing, no matter what books we read or podcasts we listen to or radio shows, if we're doing it alone, we're gonna to some degree stay stuck in that shame cycle. Because what heals our shame is actually Christ-centered community.
Those that might have an insecure internal working model, an insecure or a negative view, or maybe an unhealthy view of self or a healthy view of others and the world around them, if they're surrounded, right, by one, two, three kind of secure relationships that make them feel seen, that make them feel soothed, that make them feel safe and secure, they can actually earn secure attachment again. And that's this whole idea of interpersonal neurobiology and neuroplasticity, that our brains can be rewired and adapted over time. That is the intricacy of God, that he is such a relational being that he wants us to experience that security and that safety in him and in those that we love. But Nick, up to this point, you know, we've talked a lot about those that are struggling with and fighting the addiction of sexual sin personally. But I think someone who often gets overlooked in this process are the partners and the loved ones of those who struggle with sexual addiction. Oftentimes they experience what many have identified as betrayal trauma, where everything that should have been sacred in their sex life was abused or overlooked or maybe taken for granted. And Nick, there are many there may be somebody out there today who's listening and who's struggling with just a lot of anger, maybe a lot of bitterness, maybe a lack of trust. They have their own deep wounds because of their partner's choices and decisions. What's just a word of encouragement and hope to that person today? But also, what do you guys have to offer through Pure Desire for betrayal trauma and individuals that are really struggling?
The place I would want to start with that individual, Zach, is to say what you are feeling, the anger, the hurt, the desperation, is completely normal. That is how we should feel when the safest person in our world turns out to not be safe or has been lying or deceiving us. You are experiencing a trauma response, and it is how God designed our brain to respond to situations that are not safe. And unfortunately, for far too long, we've kind of ignored the other half of the story, if you will. You know, we think about the struggler, and often, if we're being honest, we think about the man being the struggler and like, let's just fix that man up, get him to stop doing the bad thing, and then everything will be okay. And sometimes we've even gone further in a much more harmful way to look at that spouse and say, well, what are you not doing? Are you not having enough sex at home? Are you not, you know, providing what's needed? Making an assumption that the reason a person looks at pornography or acts out sexually is because they're not having enough sex. And yet we know that's not the problem at all. And having more sex at home can't fix it or make the problem better. And so rather than helping the betrayed spouse, we've often shamed them and made the problem about them, which is absolutely unhelpful and not true. You know, there's research out there that shows that when a spouse has been in a situation where they continue to get staggered disclosure of a loved one's sexual activity, of their spouse acting out with pornography or other forms of compulsive sexual behavior, that the impact they have, that it has on them, is at the same level of someone who has experienced rape. And we might think of those as two totally different situations, and they are in a physical regard, but in terms of the impact on the body and the soul and the mind, the trauma that's created is on par with one another. And when we hear that, I think we realize we can't just help the one struggling. We have to help the couple heal. And that's really something that God birthed into Pure Desire from the very beginning, that Dr. Ted and his wife Diane saw. We can't just help one half of the couple heal in isolation. In fact, Diane Roberts is, you know, famously quoted for saying, when we only help the man who struggles, it's like in an accident calling for an ambulance, and the ambulance comes and it picks up the person who made the phone call while leaving the one who got ran over lying in the street bleeding out. And that's the spouse. That the church needs to be the ambulance that comes alongside the spouse and says, how can we help? How can we help you find safety? How can we help put you in a situation where you find support and get what you need? Because really, for that couple to succeed and for that marriage to be reborn, and I often refer to it that way, it's not just continuing the marriage. It really is a marriage rebirth built on a new foundation. Well, for that to happen, that betrayed spouse has to be able to get to a place where they're recovered enough to enter into that conversation and to do it from a place of health and recovery, not from woundedness and fear. So that's why Pure Desire has always had groups for men and women, for the struggler and for the spouse. So we have a workbook called Betrayal and Beyond that wives go through, and it helps them understand why they're not the problem and why they're not the solution. It helps them understand how they can move towards healing their pain, whether or not their spouse works on their healing. They understand the trauma that it's created and what does it look like to heal from trauma. And so it's a pretty intentional process that is for the betrayed spouse. And what we have found is when both spouses can go through a very unique healing journey, the struggler obviously to address the behavior and what's driving it, but also the betrayed spouse to deal with the trauma, that's what creates the greatest realignment and regrowth in the marriage. And so for churches, you know, I bring that up too, because I think we are passionate about healing marriages and, you know, bringing down the divorce rate. And when you look at all this, you say, man, if we want to heal marriages, we have to help in this area of pornography and sexual betrayal for both the struggler and the spouse. But the good news is that when we do that, I have seen marriages recover from absolutely anything. Now, I'm not saying every marriage can, and not even saying every marriage should, but it is unbelievable the level of affairs or sexual acting out that couples have recovered from, because they both are able to walk through the experience of change and transformation. And so it really does make me believe that Christ can heal anything, but it really requires that both spouses get that support and recovery that they need.
He is a God of restoration, a God of redemption, and the great repurposer who can take broken things and make them beautiful again. You know, Nick, God bless you guys and just the work that you're doing. I don't want to miss this moment, because I want to ask you the question, where can our audience go to find out more about Pure Desire and maybe even get further connected in what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. Well, everything is at puredesire.org. So go to .org, puredesire.org. If you want to know more about the stats that have just come out with Barna, you can go puredesire.org/stats and read a whole lot more about what we're finding to be true in the church, because I feel that when we can see reality and face it for what it is, then we gain the motivation and the tools we need to do something about that reality. But at our website, you can also find groups, both the groups that are meeting in churches. There's a map there that you might be able to find a group at a church near you or to join one of our online groups. And then we also have a number of free resources. We have ebooks on 5 steps to freedom from pornography, 7 keys to understanding betrayal trauma. We have a group leader checklist to understand how you might start a group in your church. Those are all free ebooks. We have a weekly podcast and blog, and it's just our desire to be a resource to Christians and to the church that are looking for healing and recovery in this area. And so it's all there.
Again, that's puredesire.org. I believe it's a step toward your healing, your hope, and your recovery. Nick, I want to close this way, my friend. Throughout this whole conversation, it's reminded me of Psalm 51:10, which says, "Create in me a clean or a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And now I'm not naive enough to know that there's probably an audience member out there, maybe a couple out there that's listening, that's saying, you know what, we've prayed that prayer so many times, but maybe we just haven't yet seen like the fruit of that quite yet. I feel like I've prayed it, but maybe I'm not sure if I actually believe it. Nick, what's one final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would leave that person with today to remind them that it's not too late, that they're not too far gone, and that God's grace, His love, and His forgiveness is sufficient to catapult them into a new, sustaining life?
Thank you for that, Zach. I think of a friend of mine, Dan, who said, I tried everything. And then he stopped himself and said, well, I tried everything on my own. I hadn't ever actually done what Pure Desire was recommending I do. And I find many Christians and couples in that place where they've done what they've been taught to do. They've confessed, they've got the accountability software, they're trying as hard as they know how to, believing Christ for healing and freedom, and yet most of it has been on their own. Or they've gone into counseling offices that aren't really equipped and trained in this area. And I love every counselor that has a heart to help, but it's much like the medical field, that if this isn't something we've been trained specifically in, if we're just a generalist, we may not know what to do about a very specific problem. And so my encouragement would be, if you've tried many things and you think you've done everything, but some of the things I brought up today are new to you, things about shame, understanding our past wounds and trauma and how that drives behavior, understanding our patterns, what's happening in our brain and our neurobiology, and how all of that's become fused into this behavior that we're choosing or that our spouse has been choosing. That's what a healing journey will look like. As you walk through a group material or a group experience with Pure Desire, you're going to go deeper than you've ever gone. And that was totally my story. You know, I was so hesitant to group because, like, I know all this. I know all the right verses. I've prayed all the prayers. I know all the accountability questions. Like, what more can there be to do? But I look back and say, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't realize how much more work there was for God to do, not just, again, to stop a behavior, but to go deeper into changing the way I did life. And that's what was so transformational. And so I think there's hope. There's an invitation there to say, maybe you've been trying a lot of behavior management, and what you're hearing today is an invitation to go deeper into your story and to connect all the dots, because your sexual struggles are not an isolated problem you have. It is connected to everything in your story. And when you're in a safe environment where you can unpack all that, I think you'll be astounded at the level of change that truly is possible. So don't give up, don't grow weary, and believe that God is leading you in and through this entire process.
I love that. Don't give up. This isn't just about behavior modification. This is spiritual transformation. And you don't have to, and you were not made to do this fight or this life alone. Nick Stumbo, my friend, thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we appreciate you and all that God is doing in and through you and in and through Pure Desire Ministry. Thank you again for your time today.
Amen. Thank you, Zach. And thank you for being willing to discuss this topic and shine a light on it, because that's where healing begins.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for The Center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The Center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call The Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for The Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at The Center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.